May be seated. Just a little preface here before anyone else asked me this ridiculous question this week. Yes, I'm used to the cold. Reminds me of home up there in the Catskills, those 6 years we spent up there. Seems like it was such a long, long time ago, though. Because back in the day, you know, a really long time ago, when you messed up, you went to the temple. You made your sacrifice. You opened up your scriptures. When you get home and you look at the book of Leviticus, you'll see exactly what I mean. It is literally the most boring book of the Bible. Take my word for it. I only read it because I promised myself I'd read the Bible in its entirety. Well, that and the professor's lecture was super boring that day, so I had to do something to keep myself awake. But you messed up. You went to the temple. You made your sacrifice. And that was that. Now, I'm not saying it was necessarily an easy process, and you'll see that in a lot of regards it was quite a complicated one, you know, with that whole to-do list to check off every little item that you needed to accomplish there for the temple sacrifice. You had to go first and wash in the pool, and then after that, after you properly cleansed, you made your journey all the way up the Temple Mount. And then after you climbed all the way up there, you do that and you do this, depending on what the sinning was and whether or not the sin was intentional or not. But the thing is, you know, we don't necessarily live in back in the day, you know, a long time ago. We don't have a temple. We worship here and in our sanctuaries, and our understanding of sin, it's probably a little bit more diluted than back then, and its handling is definitely a lot more democratic and accessible. I mean, we can approach God at any time and say, sorry, God, I won't do that again, or I'll try to do better next time. I mean, you don't even need a priest or a pastor for that, do you? Boy, that's quite a privilege, isn't it? A gift that's been given freely by Jesus. You all remember them gospel lessons that we've had before? You know, those notorious sinners, they're seeking Christ out. They're tired of their crooked ways, and they come and they ask for forgiveness. They want to start over. They want that second chance. You know, they messed up quite badly, and you know, you can't live with yourself that kind of bad, and they come to him and seek a pardon. And Jesus, being Jesus, gives it to them, and a lot more than that. Goes on to call these despicable ones the children of God, because the old is gone and the new is born. It's a fun little phrase, isn't it? But it doesn't simply mean that the old is simply renovated. It's about the brand new. It's about God's act in a new creation, new in quality, new in character. Of course, it doesn't mean necessarily we're going to escape from the old, but rather we're getting a chance to live our lives even more deeply and better than before. But keep in mind, where God comes with God's forgiveness, nothing stays the same, because God is making all things new. God does more than a little redecorating or rearranging the furniture, because with God it is different. Things aren't just changed up a little bit. The very place that God comes down to become a new place is the very life that God comes down to become a new life. It's that simple. We call it the baptism there that we heard in the scriptures from Mark. Now, of course, in baptism, depending on which denomination you are, can range from full immersion all the way to a little sprinkle, what we do. And it might change your life, because in itself there is really nothing more than actions through the baptism, even if it is religiously motivated, with a formal liturgy, with water that has been blessed, with godparents and the church and the commitments that we make and the vows that we take. What is special, what makes baptism special, is what we do with it after we get out of the water. And just in case we think it might be very easy, you know, that beautiful dove descending, and we hear that great and beautiful voice, "You are my child, the beloved." Well, we got to look forward and see what made Christ's baptism so special, because what he did after it is very important. Jesus went over all regions of the world there and went to those areas where the sinners lived. And he forgave them. Now, Jesus is out here. He's preaching and teaching a doctrine that is very appealing to people because it was a challenge to the norms of society, and even as well to the religious norms, if you really want to sit back and think about it. The thing is, though, sometimes we have to be told. Things need to be pointed out to us. We need to see and to hear that Christ is the Beloved. I'm sorry, sweetie. There was this one time, Romy and I, we were decorating for Christmas. This was back in Hobart. And, you know, we opened up the box, and, you know, it's like Christmas all over again when you open it up and you see all the fun stuff in there. And she started unpacking it, and then we came across a Christmas tree nightlight that we had, and it caught her attention. She played with it for a second. I don't know what I was doing. I was probably putting lights on the tree, and she says, "David, you may want to go ahead and change the light bulb. This thing doesn't work." All right, so I traipsed down to the basement to my desk and was rooting through for a spare bulb, and I plugged it in and flipped the switch, and it came right on. Went upstairs. I said, "It works just fine." "Oh, really?" She took it out of my hands and stood there flipping the switch on and off, on and off, on and off again, and I sat there looking at her and said, "Sweetie, you got to plug it in." I've never let her live that one down, if you can tell. Now, she was 8 months pregnant, I'll give her that. But it's sometimes for us, though, it's really easy to miss the obvious. Sometimes we have to be told plainly and clearly. Sometimes we have to see that just as then, as much as now, what we do is going to have to make a difference, and it's going to have to make a difference here and now. And if we listen hard enough, someone's going to come along one day, and they're actually going to tell us the truth. And y'all know we can't go backwards to a time that was better, but instead we got to go forward to the future. That's the only place we can go. And as we go together as one family in God, through our Lord and Savior, as we go together, we're reminded that if there are no joyful demands or holy requirements or sacred duties or that joyful yoke placed upon us, what good are we doing? What difference are we actually making? You know, the baptism down there, Jesus' baptism at the River Jordan, it wasn't just a personal encounter there between God and the Son of God. It was a statement that with Jesus, things are going to be handled differently than what we're used to. And the kicker is, you know, what the real shock is that God claims how Jesus does things. God speaks to Jesus. God calls him his own son. And God also declares that things are going to be a whole new ball game. Because Jesus did and still does things differently than we expect. Baptism, the entrance into the community of the church, whether it was done when we were a young child, before we could take the vows ourselves, or whether we openly professed our faith. What makes a baptism special is what we do with our lives after we get out of the water and dry ourselves off. Because we're going to end up following a Savior who's going to lead us to meet those in need. Because we're going to have to do exactly what it is Jesus did. He visited the sick, lifted them up like Peter's mother-in-law, Jairus' daughter. And even as we gather together, we eat and we can associate with people who are different than us, who may be poorer than us, who may be in a different societal class than us, we can then learn how to live faithfully and boldly as we become able to share the good news. You know, there are those that need our help, those who are struggling, who are stuck and bogged down in life. We know who they are. We see them all around us at all times. We see people who have suffered through tragic events and still trying to carry on by themselves, knowing that they may need a shoulder to lean on. And it may be through that simple act of a shoulder that someone may encounter that mind-blowing presence in the greatness of God. because of how we chose to live our lives after we rose up out of the water. And this God, through Jesus, teaches us the real stuff, you know, how to be authentic, how to live with integrity, with which we approach our mission and serve those living here in this village. But if we are just all talk, if we don't live out the beliefs that we have, then people are going to look at us and they're going to call us fake. But I know that we aren't. But I also know we may need a little bit of help from God. And the good news is all we got to do is ask. Ask God to help us dream. Dream big for this place. Imagine and imagine big for what we can do here in this community. You know, ask God to give us boldness to start over. Not the kind of attitude when we're looking to the future, but our eyes are constantly glued to the rearview mirror, but instead looking forward. Rising up out of the water, because we can't go backwards to a different time. We can't go back to 2017 and change it, no matter how much we wish we could. We got to go forward to the future, not just for ourselves and for our children, but for all those people of faith who are going to come after us. So as we go as God's beloved children, as members of this household of faith, of the Methodist Church in Port Washington, may we claim our baptism. May we rise up out of the water. May we get working through the Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. Thanks be to God. And this morning, as we do remember and celebrate the baptism.